morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are in the world, and welcome to another great episode of Interop Radio. This is an episode of Interop Radio live from the expo floor here at Interop 2015. I say it's live from the floor instead of what I've been saying the past few days, that we're live from what would be the expo floor, because we actually opened the expo floor a couple of hours ago. And now, through the windows of the studio, we can see lots of attendees walking around, many of them have bags over their shoulders to put the literature that they're gathering from different vendors. We see all kinds of different demonstrations going on, people huddled over monitors. It's a lively, lively scene here. And we're glad that you could join us on the radio, even if you can't be here live and in person in Las Vegas, Nevada. Well, today we have a number of great guests here on our second episode of the day. We're going to begin with someone who is one of the members of the InteropNet team. That's Claude Mitchell, who is IT director for the City of East Cleveland. Claude, welcome to Interop Radio.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here.
And throughout the show today, we're going to be joined by one of my colleagues at Information, Dave Wagner, who is the executive editor for Community and IT Life. Dave, welcome to Interop Radio.
Thanks, Kurt.
Now, I'm used to having Dave on the radio with us for Information Week Live on Fridays. It's a real treat to have him here on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Now, Claude, first of all, talk to me about what you do on the InteropNet team.
Well, I primarily volunteer. You support, build, and construct, it's what has been called the largest temporary network in the world. We run all the cable, the copper, the fiber, provide internet connectivity to the booths, and specifically the show floor classrooms. All the wireless off the recreational areas out in the hallways. We provide all of that. And because when you rent a room from, say, an establishment like Mandalay Bay, you get a room. But everything this year was brought in last week.
Well, now I'm curious. A lot of our team members, the people who are not team leads, are people who are at the front end of their career. We have a lot of college kids who come in and will help us because they're eager to learn about the hands-on piece of networking and IT as opposed to all that great theory they're learning in university. Now, I look at you, and not to be ageist or anything, but you've got almost as much gray in your beard as I have in mine. So you're obviously not some kid right out of college. Why do you keep coming back to Interop? What is it about the experience that makes it worthwhile for you to be here?
Well, it's a multifaceted answer to that. I find out that typically it's nice to be a big fish in your own little pond for 50 weeks out of the year, and then coming here is an exercise in humility. You're around really cutting-edge people who know infinitely more than you do. And you can't help but learn. It's a very humbling process. And just by absorption, you gain some knowledge. I'm at the back end of my career. I'll be 57 this year. So I talk with young kids pretty well. And I like to learn from them, as they can learn things from me. And so it's a mutual educational opportunity.
You know, I've got to agree. We talk with just about everybody who comes on Interop Radio here about the education. But as you point out, just being around these individuals here in the InteropNet crew is astounding. I know I've been privileged to be around this crew for better than a decade, and I know that I have learned just an incredible amount about networking from the casual conversations that happen in the and at the meals that we have. It sounds like you're having something of the same experience.
I tell people, I used to teach adult education, and typically doctors are the lawyers, doctors and lawyers are IT people of today. You go to a party, people want you to fix their computers while you're standing. And once I had to take off a class from the plan and explain to them that just because I know computers doesn't mean I know everything about every computer. And I had to build a flow chart about the possibilities of things you could know. And I told him, if you tried to learn all this, your head would explode. Literally, it would explode. So you always you find a niche, you plug it, and then you learn radially outward from that. And this actually, and I'll give you a little brief anecdote about it. A few years ago, I was part of a thing called Fugitive Safe Surrender. It's in Cleveland. Have you ever heard of that?
I haven't, but go tell our listeners about this.
Fugitive Safe Surrender was an initiative by the U.S. Marshals where they would give an amnesty. They would rent a space, bring in courts from all over the general area of this county and all the surrounding suburbs in Ohio, Northeast Ohio. And they would set up in a church because typically that they wanted to be as less threatening to the individuals as possible. They say, come in, we'll give you a chance to clean up your record without fear of A, getting arrested violently or us shooting you or them shooting us violently. So it was called Fugitive Safe Surrender. And one of the instances they were doing was in a large church, and they were bringing in network from Cuyahoga County Court, various courts, all trying to merge it into one building, which is essentially what we do here. I came in and was helped out. I'm trying to be very humble about my participation in it, but a lot of directions I gave about things that we should be looking at is essentially what we do here. We construct a temporary network that's very powerful for end users, which would be the courts and the law enforcement officials. So that was instrumental, and I put that as one of the prouder things I've gotten out of this, aside from the contacts around it.
I think that's really neat because it's easy to look at the InteropNet in one sense and say, well, this is a unique situation. But even as a unique situation, there's an awful lot you can learn from that unique situation that you can take out to other unique situations.
Yes.
Dave, I see you over there raising your hand.
Yeah, I think retail is another place where this is really going to come in handy. We're seeing more pop-up stores. We're seeing more mobile stores. We're really starting to change a lot of industries to where there need to be temporary networks being set up, and this is a great place to learn about that.
No, you're absolutely right. Temporary networks and these sort of blended networks, you hear so many stories about companies that are doing mergers or acquisitions, bringing together the IT systems can be one of the more difficult parts of something like that.
Challenging, yes.
Yeah, we had that brought up yesterday in a keynote in the Information Week conference about SDN being far more important specifically because of merger and acquisition.
Tell us a little bit. I wish I knew more about the size of East Cleveland. Now, would you describe the equivalent of your network as being a large infrastructure network or sort of a medium enterprise? Where would you say that the system you work on every day fits into the scale size of things?
Well, in putting the largest enterprise at 100 and basically a computer at a desktop at home at 1, I would say the size of the network fills in that middle third.
Okay.
Where we're large enough to have some of the needs and issues of the enterprise, but not big enough where we could afford the enterprise tools. In fact, it would be overkill. But the smaller tools don't fit our needs because they don't scale up. And we still need that scalable flexibility. We need the tools that big boys have, but maybe not much across a wide area. Our city is a 2-square-mile city. Outlying buildings all connected on a fiber backbone. And that was done during the fiber boom of the 80s and 90s when everybody was laying fiber and were able to participate in that.
It sounds like yours is one of those situations where you're having to plug a lot of technology and product holes with the knowledge of your staff to figure out how to make the products on either side of what you really need work for your situation.
Well, you're looking at 50% of my staff right here. It's me and other gentleman who works under me as my subordinate. Give him a little plug. I couldn't do my job because, again, you can't know everything. He pretty much handled a lot of the city's efforts. I handled a lot of the board's efforts because that's where I came into the enterprise, to the city itself. But we work together, and we try to get things done.
That's outstanding. Now, do you have a lot of interfacing that you have to do of your network and your systems with those of the state and federal and other agencies? Is that a piece of what you have to do?
Not on the physical layer. We have, for instance, our case management system was mandated to be able to communicate with the Ohio Court Network, which is an effort started about 3 or 4 years ago. They found the disparity between what was on the active databases of the individual municipalities versus what was in, say, some of the state-run databases. So the Ohio Court Initiative took it on itself to set up their own database. Now, in that, we have to upload every night cases to change that. So when there's, yes, you have to interface, but not a physical layer.
All right. Now, one of the things that you mentioned early is something that we are hearing a lot of here at Interop, and especially about 05 yards to the left of the door to my studio here, and that's SDN. I know a lot of people have said that SDN is one of those technology areas where it really only matters to the very largest networks, the multinational enterprises or significant ISPs, big cloud providers, situations like that. How do you see it? I mean, is SDN something that you're looking at for your situation, or can you imagine SDN being something that you would use down the road?
At a very small percentage. I took the class yesterday and looked over some of the SDN offerings between the vendors. I don't want to get vendor specific here, just as a general overlay of what I saw. And I saw a lot of things that would be very useful for the enterprise, for the large enterprise. Out of the, say, 50 things we saw, I only saw one thing that I saw that would be suitable for my size of a shop. So I would tend to agree. Most of those tools, until you start getting third-party apps and vertical market apps that are set up to scale downward, as I see it right now, then it's probably going to be an enterprise issue. And simply the matter of replacing all of your old legacy networking hardware to make it compatible for that. For instance, myself, I'm working on some rather older switches and hubs and network gear, which suit me fine. They actually work, though I would like to upgrade them, as every network manager would like to upgrade everything. But everything works okay. So I cannot justify buying all new software, all new hardware that has the SDN feature set for something that my mayor, my judge will not see.
Right.
It has to be something that they can see and can concretely say, yes, that made an improvement in their lives.
So if SDN, the biggest news group that's happening here at Interop, isn't something that you see being immediately applicable to your situation, I've got to ask, what are you excited about here at Interop? Is there anything out here that you do think is going to be, in terms of technology, useful to you, or is this one of those cases where networking has simply passed you by?
I wouldn't say it's passed us by. I hadn't quite thought of it like that. I think we're going to reach a point where we get diminishing returns on large investments. Right now, networks run pretty well. And for the most part, unless you're doing something really good or really specific, out of the box is great. If you want to do a couple of VLANs, you can move a level to manage switches, manage hubs, that sort of devices. But when you start getting into things at the really high-end, cutting-edge enterprise level, I see it staying at that level until I say there's a vertical market apps. Someday somebody's going to come out with an app that's going to say, if you use this as a small business, this is going to rock your world if you have SDN. And we're not at that point yet.
Okay, Dave, what do you think about the technology areas for networks the size of Claude's?
Well, actually, I just wanted to ask Claude,
okay.
Because Claude said something really interesting, I thought, which was that he said if his mayor or his judge can't see the investment, he's not interested, which seems like a really fair thing. One of the things I think networking is a lot like field goal kicking. Nobody notices the field goal kicker until he misses, right?
Yeah.
So I'm curious, what is a visible upgrade to a constituent, like a mayor or a judge? Is it just about speed? Or what is it that they see? Because Because I think of networking as sort of the invisible IT.
Good question. I'll give you an example of something I just had to go through. It was a preventative maintenance sort of view with our virus software. You know, I could present a case, and everyone has virus software, even your own computer, your kid's computer, that sort of thing. So I was able to present my case as, you see this? This is what we need. And they were able to grasp that as something because they could relate to it. You know, I bring in a switch and start talking about gigabits, megabits, gigabits. They go, what are you talking about? You know, they just don't have it. And it's, I don't expect them to because that's my job. But I have to get it across to make sure they understand it and can pay for it.
Right. Makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's easier for me to get to buy a printer than it is for network gear.
Right, right. That's one of those networking is invisible problems,
yes.
Right?
Well, you know, we're sitting here on Tuesday. The show actually opened today, and so what do you think the rest of the week is going to be like? Based on what you've seen so far, you're expecting a fairly standard, stable week, or do you see great excitement in our future in trying to get the network going?
Great excitement are two words you want to hear when designing a network.
You should have just seen the fear in his eyes.
Because we've had a few great excitement moments, and I tend to like less of a roller coaster than I do. But as for the show itself, I think it's going to do very well. And speaking for me, I enjoy these types of shows. You know, during my early years as the IT director, I used to go to Comdex, that type of show, because that was a show that I could see everything I needed to see. I can't afford to go to a show every week, every month, to see printers, one to see cameras, one to see this. And I usually made all of my buying decisions based upon what I saw at Comdex, and I would go home and buy it. I did the same thing here for networking. There have been multiple instances where I have saw something here and then went home and bought it because I can compare, I can shop, I can see the difference, and I can put my value added into what I see.
So when you say see, do you see it on the show floor, or are you talking about what you see in action in the interop network?
Actually, both. More so than the knock itself because I have hands-on to it and I can see the need and the function for it. A lot of times I'll go and see a particular product in the knock, and I'll go talk to the vendors at their booth, and I'll go talk to competing vendors and see what theirs does, and then we get to that scalability issue where we're dealing with enterprise stuff.
You know, before I let you go, I've got to ask you a question that some of us have been talking about the last day or two. Your day job, given your title, is probably spent largely making decisions, setting policies, doing procedures. And yet when you come to a show like this, you and pretty much everyone here spend a lot of time doing things like racking servers, terminating cables, doing the kind of work that you were accustomed to doing at the very front end of your career. For you, is that one of the, I'm going to use pleasures of being part of Interop, or is it something you just, do you enjoy being able to do the hands-on as part of it, or where does that fall in your list of likes or dislikes?
Well, it gets back to our scalability, enterprise versus home, mid-range. During mid-range, I'm never in the mid-range area. I'm still cutting cables and running and terminating Cat 5. That just can't get away from it because I don't have a staff that can say, you're hired to make Cat 5 cables all day. So I'm still doing it here. But what we get here is that this is a vacation. I'm learning because for these two weeks, I do what I'm told. I learn because I'm doing what I'm told. I'm not trying to find the best path. I'm letting others decide the best path because they're more knowledgeable in that field, and I glean information and knowledge from them, watching their process, watching their thought structure. So that's why I get it from me. I have no problem with doing it back at home. I'm still racking and cutting cables, and actually painted the floor of our data center. So still doing all of that.
You are truly a multi-talented man, no question about that. Well, Claude, we very much appreciate you being part of both the InteropNet team and InteropNet Radio. This has been exciting, being able to have a chance to talk with you here on the radio.
It's been incredible. A lot of times, I say, especially. So it's good to get some ideas and thoughts out and see what happens.
Well, we appreciate it. We've been talking with Claude Mitchell, IT Director for the City of East Cleveland and one of the integral members of the InteropNet NOC team. Claude, thanks so much.
Yeah, welcome. It's my pleasure.
InterOp Radio will be right back to you in just a moment with more here on the floor. Stay tuned. Don't go away. Here at InteropNet Radio. Thanks so much for sticking around. Now, I've still got my partner in crime, Dave Wagner, here. Dave, you've had a chance to sit in on some of the conferences here at InteropNet. What kind of things have you been able to hear people talking about in the conference at InteropNet?
I've been spending time at the Information Week conference, which is co-located with InteropNet this year, and we've been sitting in on keynotes by some of the major leaders in the business. We had the CIO of Walmart, the CIO of ConocoPhillips, we've had the director of IT of UPS. We've had some pretty big names talking about some pretty big topics.
Outstanding. I'm curious, what did the... You're talking about these CIOs. We've just heard Claude Mitchell, who's the IT director of a much smaller organization, talking about some of his issues, some of his concerns. Did you hear any commonality when you were talking or listening to these CIOs talk, or were they really living and talking about a different plane entirely?
Well, I think that the real common spot is that everybody wants to do more with less. Nobody has the budget to just spend. The CEO of Heartland's payments, they said, you can never spend too much. There's never a way you could possibly do it. So everybody's trying to make decisions based on budget. We had the CIO of AstraZeneca on talking about how he went on a mission to double the value he was getting from IT while having the cost, which was a pretty impressive effort. And interestingly enough, it involved insourcing as opposed to outsourcing. We've seen a lot of companies the last few years export a lot of their services to the cloud. We've seen them send it off to other services. What we've gotten instead, he thinks, is that he can save a lot of money through bringing resources back in, which I thought was a pretty big revelation, actually. And we've had a lot of the way to get costs down by bringing up ROI, specifically with analytics. If we can return an investment on analytics, we can have impact on where we move resources around to do things we weren't otherwise able to do.
It's interesting because on the one hand, hearing that the budgets for IT are starting to loosen up, and yet it sounds like the purse strings are not yet fully open on these things.
I think the purse strings might be open, but the amount we're asking for the same price is going up faster than we could possibly loosen the purse strings. We're still trying to get our hands entirely around mobility. We're still trying to get our hands around modernizing applications. The analytics demands are increasing. The data demands are increasing significantly. Everybody's got more data. We're trying to get ready for the Internet of Things, which means more demand on our network, more demand on our data storage. So our demand is going up faster than the budget, even if the persons are listening.
Well, it's interesting that you're talking about getting more value from our investments, because our next guest here on Interop Radio is someone who we've had on a previous episode talking about the idea of competitiveness and getting more competitive boost from the investments we make. Welcome Dharmesh Gota, CTO and President of Advaya, to the show. Dharmesh, welcome.
Thank you.
Dharmesh, I'm sure that the things Dave was talking about, the idea that we're being expected to produce more value from the investment the organization is making in IT, is something that is not unfamiliar to you.
True. And I don't think it is about creating more value in terms of absoluteness, because I think as the money inflates, the value also inflates, right? I mean, there were times when we were talking about a chunk of information creating certain value and all, which was valuable a lot more at that time, may not be valuable right now. So that's the case that is happening. Like, the things have moved on. The world is progressing. The amount of information available freely is becoming more and more available. So right now, I think when it comes down to real valuable information, yes, the amount of information that brings up value has become higher, or it needs a lot more information, a lot different kind of information, but stay the same. Just the information has happened over the year.
Now, when you're talking about kind of information, a lot of people, when they're talking about different kinds of information, they're mentioning things like big data.
Yes.
Is that what we're talking about, or is your definition sort of beside or over what big data represents?
No, it does. Big data becomes a mechanism of generating information, generating value of the information. Big data is a technology which kind of helps you analyze the analyze data and create information out of it. Now, over the period of time, kind of information that comes, and if you think about the perspective, previously there were certain technology areas where people were looking for the information. With the technology boom, with the number of new companies, new technology popping up every now and then, it has become very important that we have to gain information about all sorts of platforms, all sorts of competitive things, all sorts of behavioral stuff, in order to make our stuff relevant enough. So that's where the technologies like social intelligence, social analysis, whether we are using big data to process those things, or classic data management to process things, it has become much more important for us to collect those data and create the relevant information in order to stay upfront in the techno space that we are.
Dave, I'm curious, with the keynote addresses that you were hearing and the big name speakers you're hearing up in the Information Week conference, were any of them using terms like big data to discuss what they were trying to work with, or was their conversation at a level beyond one where specific technologies were mentioned?
Well, it was, we had specific talks on big data. For instance, we had Jackie Wood from UPS, who was a fantastic story about their journey from essentially handwritten paper in 2003 to using analytics data for transforming UPS. A fantastic story. Generally speaking, though, I think we're getting to the point, even though I ran a conference or a session today on big data and analytics, I think we're getting to the point where we're talking less about analytics and big data and talking just more about serving the business. These solutions, these are tools. We've been around analytics long enough that really what we're doing is just the mission of the business. And sometimes that's going to use analytics, sometimes that's going to use other tools. So we're less, I think we're getting used to big data to the point where it doesn't feel quite so big anymore.
Dermish, I'm curious, when we're talking about all of this data, whether it's, you know, big data or any other thing, do you find that one of the issues that remains is turning all that data into information that can be used by the organization?
Absolutely. I mean, when people talk about big data, if by definition, big data means a large amount of data, large amount of bits and bytes lying around, and whether that is social data, whether that is behavioral data, whether it's purchase data, whether whatever kind of data it is. The biggest concern about these kinds of data is basically how do I analyze it? How do I create a meaningful information out of it? So technologies like big data, technical technologies that are available right now, the technology that gives you capability to model and take out some benefits of the data that you have collected. When it comes down to those, the biggest is basically thinking about or coming up with that analytical approach that you know what data is going to give you this kind of analysis, and this analysis can be used for this kind of purpose. The whole notion about the big data scientist or the data scientist or business intelligence scientist coming in picture is basically, yes, data is available. What do I do with the data? What value can I generate out of data? When we talk about conferences like Interop or publications, Information Week and all, the media companies collect a lot of information and a lot of data about that. But what do we use to create some meaningful information out of? I mean, that's where the whole theory or whole logic needs to be placed. The effort needs to be placed on, like, if we collect all of this data about whoever is attending, whoever is reading, whoever is surfing the web and all, what meaningful information that I can generate, which is going to be useful to my customers or useful in coming up with a new product, new ideas around the things that I'm looking for.
Yeah, that was a major part of a discussion I had today. I had a discussion with many CIOs and analytics professionals who were not nearly as frustrated with the technology wouldn't get together anymore as they may have been, but they were extremely frustrated about the fact that they were providing all those expensive and difficult things to attain, and then they were watching their management, their business side, not use it very well. Often they were rejecting it entirely. They were lamenting that they didn't know how to tell a story with the data. So, and the story they wanted to tell was one of the business being able to successfully use that for something. So I think the frustration is really palpable right now in the community about how the business is actually using data.
Dermish, one of the things that Dave just mentioned is the idea of telling a story with the information. Is that something that you find a lot of companies are still having trouble doing? I mean, it's one thing to generate a spreadsheet or look at some sort of tabular output from a database. But telling a compelling story with that information is an entirely different skill set and an entirely different way of looking at the data. Do you hear much about companies wanting to do that or needing to do it?
Every time I'm talking to any CIO or any CTO or any business folk, even CEOs and CFOs for that purpose, they all are talking about, like, hey, we have collected this much of information. We have collected this many spreadsheets of data and all. But I'm not able to find the value out of it because there is no one story which is connecting all these data points and bringing me to a point where I can use this information in a meaningful purpose. So I have a theory around this thing. As the technology grew, as the data collection engines become cheaper to use, as the data storage became cheaper and all, people started collecting enormous amount of data. Now, the speed at which we collected the data is much higher than the speed at which we have intellectually grown ourselves or our industry to a level where we can use this information, this data into a meaningful information, or by connecting those stories. There is a serious lack in the industry about for the people who can bring in that business acumen into this, the data that we have collected from technology and all, and bring and tie them for a very meaningful output.
It's my theory that there's a system that's broken, which is that most enterprises I know have three steps in the data journey, or at least three steps in the data journey. There is the production of the data, which is usually done by IT, and then there's a point where that is handed off to a group of data analysts with that, and then they create some sort of report, they visualize it in some way, and then it's expected that that's handed off again to leadership to make decisions. It's in a way very much like a game of telephone. You're expecting that data to travel very far, very fast, in the hands of CEO or other senior leadership, intact the way it was built originally. And to a certain extent, skill sets, as you mentioned, Kurt, the person who can build the Hadoop stack is not the same person who can build the organization or can tell the story to senior leadership. And senior leadership is not going to do all of that either. But we don't have mechanisms in place yet to connect those dots. And when we connect those dots, successful companies that connect those dots, that's when data is really going to take off, in my opinion.
Yeah. Dharmesh, I'm curious, dealing with equipment here that has had a long and useful life. Some of that equipment includes that Dharmesh is sitting on. But with what Dave was talking about, the different with different skill sets, I mean, can you see a day coming when storytelling is going to be one of those skills we look for in either the IT department or just in general business? I mean, we don't tend to teach storytelling in our MBA coursework. We don't tend to teach storytelling as part of the IT curriculum. Is that something that we should look at doing in the future?
Absolutely. I think not even for the future, we probably need to do it right now. There is, with the evolution of technology and all, there are a lot of capabilities available in technology. How best use of that? That's the part that with business be coming in, and they will be coming up with the stories where they can take the certain piece of technology and make it useful either for business or for consumer, for industries, for countries, for cities, states, or whatever. The translation of technology into a useful thing or a piece of solution, that's the necessity, of the current times, whether it comes to using simple technologies or using the data that is available right now, or for tying up different line of business things. Like, there are a lot of activities going around. How can we bring in optimization around those things? It's always going to be necessity for that kind of talent to win. Is that talent teachable? Is a question. I mean, is this something that is built up on practices or our experience and all? Or is this talent, knowledge, or is this something that can be taught in an education institute? That is debatable right now. I mean, we can talk about certain frameworks, certain processes, certain ways of handling these kinds of things, but I feel it comes down to the experience in using these technologies, putting it to some real use. Talk about looking at the consumers and the users of those things and seeing how technology relates to it. I mean, that actually comes out of experience and work in the field. So.
Well, we're getting close to the end of our time with you here today. So now that you're here at Interop, what are you looking forward to? What are you looking forward to doing here at Interop 2015? Is it primarily checking in on the different technologies in the booths? Is it meeting other individuals, doing the human networking? What's your big thing?
For me, the biggest thing is the human networking. I mean, I come here mainly for connecting with people, connecting with like-minded individuals who are in the space, who are in the technology space. There are a lot of industries being represented over here in terms of people providing a lot of new solutions and all. And I want to relate to them. I want to talk to them. I want to understand how people are making uses of technologies. I want to understand that. And it comes down to that experience that I was talking about. I want to gain a value out of people's experience and talking to them and basically learning a lot out of them.
Well, Dharmesh, we're very grateful that you were able to connect with us here at Interop. And we look forward to having you on Interop Radio again after we all go home and start to digest what we learned here in Las Vegas.
Absolutely. Thank you, and thank you for giving me a chance to speak to you.
We've been talking with Dharmesh Gowda, CTO and President of Advaya. Appreciate you taking time from the busy, busy Interop schedule to be with us today. Well, Interop Radio will be right back with you in just a moment. Don't go away. We've still got one more segment to go. We'll be right back. And we're back here at Interop Radio, Interop Live from the show floor at Interop 2015. I have to tell you, it's an interesting day because as you see more and more of these conferences, one of the things that's happening is that there are refreshment stands that have been set up at various places around the show floor, and our attendees are beginning to take advantage of those refreshments here in the desert. They do want to make sure that they stay well hydrated, and I'm doing exactly that. And, this is helping a lot of the conversations flow a bit more freely, I'm guessing. Dave, I've got to ask, you know, you and I are normally together on Friday afternoons at Information Week. Live on the radio program. What do you think about Interop Radio so far? Anything different? We've enjoyed having you here. You enjoying the process?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. One of the things I'm enjoying is usually when we talk on the phone, so I don't get to see you. So I'm enjoying talking face-to-face. We get to play off each other a little more. That's kind of fun.
It is indeed. Now, I'm curious, you were talking earlier about some of the sessions that you've heard so far. What are your plans for the remainder of Interop? Do you have some sessions that you're planning to see tomorrow and Thursday? Or, you know, have you pretty much done everything you're going to do and it's sitting out by the pool from here on out?
I wish it was sitting out by the pool. If I could sneak that in, I'd really like to. I am here as part of a very large team of information. We are all here covering events, so we're all trying to spread out to a bunch of different tracks. I am covering the leadership track, and I think that's a track a lot of people probably don't necessarily associate with Interop, so it's important to mention that. One of the things that I think has changed with Interop in the last few years is an understanding that interoperability doesn't only mean getting the network to work together and different parts of the network to work together. It also means people. It also means figuring out how to get different types of people to work together. It means figuring out how to get different types of technology we don't necessarily associate with networking to work, because networking is really the backbone of a lot of that. So the leadership track is designed to help senior networking leadership and senior leadership of other sorts to get together and really talk about technology at a higher level, to get to talk about it from a strategic point of view, and talk about how that interops with all of this technology that we've been thinking about. I'm really looking forward to that over the next couple of days.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I've had a number of conversations with people like Glenn Evans, who is the lead architect of the InteropNet, and he is, as I like to refer to him, the chief cat herder here on the InteropNet team. And he has told me a number of times that there is a level at which the technology is relatively straightforward. People can solve the technology problems. The interesting set of problems for him are dealing with a lot of people who are essentially alphas, and many of whom probably came home with a lot of does not work well with others on their report cards from school, and somehow having them all work well together here at InteropNet. And it sounds like that's a set of problems that is not entirely dissimilar from what a lot of IT leaders have to do.
Yeah, I think you're right. I also think it's not just the IT leaders who are not working well with others. It's their customers, their constituents, their clients. I don't know what type of thing. I just heard Claude talk about a mayor or a judge. These are people who are not used to hearing no. Chris Anderson of 3D Robotics said a very interesting thing about his drones. He said his drones are more sophisticated than the drones that the federal government has. He wasn't bragging about that, although there's probably a little bragging about that. What he was saying is that they have to be that way, because when a drone is under a Christmas tree, the person opening that present expects it to work the second he opens the box. And so he had to make a one-button drone, a drone that worked like your iPhone. That's the only way it works. When Jackie Wood from UPS was talking about creating her data, she's thinking about it from the point of view of the person in the package center who would get the package on the truck. And she said it wasn't complicated. It had to be as simple as possible. These were extremely talented, extremely skilled individuals. They were extremely busy individuals, and they couldn't tolerate the kind of nonsense, bad user experience. He said, if UPS learned anything from Apple, they learned that it was all about user experience, user experience, user experience. So really, I think it's the demand of so many people on us that creating that need for a better kind of leadership, a better kind of architecture.
Better leadership, better architecture, sounds like it could be the tagline for a future InteropNet, because you're absolutely right. That's what all the people who come to InteropNet are looking for, ways to be better at the job and ways to make the rest of the organization understand how important their job is. So lots of human networking going on, lots of data networking going on, lots of stuff happening here at InteropNet. And Dave, I hope that you'll be able to join us again on some of our upcoming episodes of InteropNet Radio here from InteropNet Live. You're great to have across the table from us.
Sure, thanks. I'll be back anytime you want.
Well, you have spent nearly an hour with us here at InteropNet Radio, and it's time to let you go. It's time for us to start going out and gathering some more stories that will appear both here at InteropNet Radio and on InformationWeek.com, DarkReading.com, and NetworkComputing.com, the three properties that make up the entire Information Week family of sites. We hope that you will be checking out the stories that appear there every day this week, and we also hope that you'll be back listening to us. Now, as I've said before, InteropNet Radio will come to you live twice tomorrow. That's at 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. Pacific. Come to you twice on Thursday, 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. Pacific. And then there will be a great wrap-up show on Friday that will be hosted by our very own Dave Wagner. And we're looking forward to having you in the audience for each one of those. Now, if you are listening to this on streaming from Blog Talk Radio or on an iTunes podcast, thank you very much. But do think about joining us live, because in addition to the audio, we have a lively online chat taking place, and we would love to have your voice in that online chat. Follow me at KG4WA on Twitter to get those URLs, or go to informationweek.com, look under the Interop tab, and you'll find an article that includes links to every one of our episodes here from Interop. Well, that's it for today from Interop. Please join us tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Pacific, that's 2 p.m. Eastern, for the next episode of Interop Radio live from Interop. Hey, have a good evening. We'll see you tomorrow.